Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Parcast Presents Halloween. It's a new podcast series on Spotify, bringing you three blood-curdling episodes each week in October. Check it out.
Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, even when there is a ghost caught on camera, it's a battle to make others believe. What kind of proof is needed to convince others that the supernatural exists? Is there ever a way to capture the image of a spirit on film that would definitively prove that ghosts are real?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, you can write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, you can also email your audio file if you got one you want to send to us over your device. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And supporting the program is what keeps it alive. If you're new to this show in October, just discovering it, going, I wanted freaky shit to listen to. You found it. Except we do this thing year-round, so you got ghost stories all year. Press subscribe. And do consider supporting the show at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories for your support. You get one bonus episode a week in addition to our other free ones. You also get all the free episodes, but you get them commercial free and weeks in advance. So lots of perks there for keeping us on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have not had a chance to even speak to you for more than 2 seconds since you walked in the door. And I know that you were over the lunch hour at our younger child's school area. They need volunteers every now and then. I know you got a chance to. Were you in the lunchroom today?
I know I was.
When I dropped her off this morning, I saw your name and it said lunch.
Yeah.
So did you have French fries flung at you?
No.
How did it go?
The kids were great. They just leave crumbs on the table. You clean them up. And The littles that have trouble opening things, you open it for them. And You make sure that, you know, nobody has a spill and they just run off. You clean it up. Yeah. So it was not a big deal.
You don't stand there when they have their Capri Sun and they're trying to get the straw into it the wrong way. You're like, no, other way.
No.
You don't like shout?
Not like
that. Other way! Damn it! How do you not know how to open a Capri Sun?
I don't shame the children.
You don't do that?
Mm-mm, no lunch shaming.
I think I had some teachers like that that would just kind of like, you know, shame you into opening a Capri Sun the right way.
I had a lady that in my elementary school.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a lunch lady in that she served, but she was only there to like monitor the kids during lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't like that I didn't like peas, school peas.
Okay. They're canned, weren't they?
They're nasty.
They were gross.
So she made me take a bite of them. So I took a bite, but then I threw everything up right there. I did.
Did you purposely like throw up? Like, did you have control over this reflex? Or was it like you just couldn't control it because you didn't like canned peas?
It was just so gross. It was the smell and the mushiness. And I threw it up right on the lunch table. Yeah. So I made sure not to make any kids eat anything they didn't want to eat.
Yeah. Like, you'll eat these peas now.
I encourage them to eat their lunch before the candy they bought from the older kids. The older kids there sell, they run like a concession stand to raise funds.
Yeah.
So you have all these five-year-olds running around with candy bars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, I'm so glad I don't have to teach them after lunch.
Yeah, no kidding. That would not be a good thing. I know Harp went in there today with all of her cash. Like, I'm going to buy $90 worth of chocolate.
And you know what she did?
Like, no.
When I saw her at lunch, she used her $1 and she bought a bowl of chili. And she was the only kid that bought a bowl of chili. Everybody else bought soda and candy. And she bought a somewhat healthy lunch.
She's like, oh, it's fall. Chili, that sounds delicious. That sounds like a wonderful fall treat.
And she said, it's a rainy day, so it's a good day for chili, is what she said.
She's the youngest 40-year-old.
Yeah. She's just like a cartoon.
She's great. Oh, that's funny. Because she was telling me today, she's like, I'm going to get a king-size Hershey at lunch. And she got a bowl of chili.
She did.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her. Oh, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. She, by the way, as you know, in years past, she's told a ghost story on the show. And this year, we've been working on one. I think we'll try and get it wrapped up in time for Halloween.
Do you think that'll happen?
I think we'll probably get it done pretty close to.
Because we already packed her studio.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, she does. She has her own little studio set up now because she's learning how to podcast. And she doesn't have a show or anything yet, but she's bound and determined to do a true crime podcast when she's old enough. But I figure, well, we'll get her learning how to use the equipment first. Yeah. And so she's learning how to edit and all of that. And by the time she's 10, she'll have the number one true crime podcast in America. We are working on it. If it's not done in time for Halloween, it'll air a little bit after. But she's going to use this, my studio here, until we're completely set up. But I did save the file. So we're in the process and it's a new, more innovative, one than she had when she was three. She's actually writing down the concept. And we were talking the other day about the concept of it. And she just blew me away with how deep the storyline goes. It's about a zookeeper that gets killed and how he comes back to haunt the zoo, but he's on this mission. And it's like has these twists and turns. And I was just kind of making an outline so we could, you know, kind of work through it. She's like, and then this happened. But the real reason for it was that. I'm like, oh, my God.
For seven, it's pretty advanced.
She's like sitting there watching Dateline or something. It's like, oh, my God. Anyway, that'll be coming up soon here on the show. So you'll probably need parental discretion.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, I made a trip to a lake in the middle of Nevada recently. It's an ancient lake that's near Hawthorne that has long been occupied by a Indian tribe. This is a beautiful lake that not many people recreate at. Because the weather was nice and this was not a place I had been before, I decided to make this a camping spot on this particularly nice day. I loaded up my camping gear and my 2-year-old chocolate lab, Henry, in the car, and I made the drive. Henry may only be 2 years old, but he and I take every opportunity to go camping and visit as many spots as possible. He's very experienced in hiking, camping, and being out in the wilderness. Since he was a puppy, he's been with me almost all of my hikes, which range from solo expeditions to camping trips with friends. He's no stranger to being in the middle of nowhere. As soon as we arrived at Walker Lake on Monday night, Henry was not himself. This is a dog that will wait until I'm not looking and sneak off to the lake to go swimming by himself. Once at the lake, he wouldn't leave my side. He was on high alert and paranoid the whole time. Even when I convinced him to go swim after sticks I was throwing, he was constantly looking back and whimpering, his head around the area to scan and look for something. Never seen him like this ever before. I built us a fire pit and took some photos of the view. I then began to text conversation with my parents about the dog's bizarre behavior. Once night fell, his anxiety became even worse, and he became obsessed with the area between our camp and the water. He was growling and barking, which he never does. I was so out of the, it was all so out of the ordinary that I filmed him reacting this way. I didn't feel anything unusual, and eventually we went to bed and then came home the following day. About a week later, I was sharing photos of the trip with my mother when I noticed one of the fire pits I had made. While looking through my photos, one of them stood out. It appeared there was a smudge on my phone. When I attempted to wipe it off, I realized it was part of the photo. Then I zoomed in on the smudge just to see. It was mist that was captured behind my fire, but before the lake in the brush. This image appears to be that of a person standing in that space, but clearly not a person in the normal sense of the word. Opening this image up on larger screens, computers, and zooming in further tends to raise even more questions. I did not notice this when I took the picture, nor were there any dust devils or other wind-related issues at the time. Comparing my video of the dog growling at the dark and where this image is in the photo also gives me pause. Henry is barking and growling at the exact same spot that seems to capture an image about an hour before. Henry and I continue to go camping and hiking almost every weekend, and I've still yet to see him act the way he did there. In a strange, good faith effort, I even have resorted to taking photos of my fire pits over and over to replicate anything close to what I did at that lake. To no avail. Truly bizarre.
You gotta go with what the animals see, because they see and feel things that we don't.
Yep. So, is there ever a photo, I guess is the question, that we talked about at the top of the show, that can convince non-believers that ghosts are real?
I would say no, in the sense that technology's come so far, it's so easy to fake a real authentic looking photo that it almost makes it more difficult to believe, one, that it's real, and two, that it's not, you know, altered in some way.
Sure. Even if they took it themselves?
If they took it themselves, that would probably be the closest you could get to having a convincing photo. Mm-hmm.
But there are ghost photos out there prior to technology being what it is today that are very convincing. And still, you know, I think it's some cases you have it where you could have the individual who doesn't believe literally smacking them in the face.
Sure.
Literally, something hit me on the head, but there's nothing here. And they're still, well, it might have been a draft, like, because air vents feel like a slap on the face. Mm-hmm. I think some are, I really believe that some people are just unconvincible. Or if they do believe, they will not admit it. It's too scary of a concept.
Yeah.
Because then it makes them question everything that they may have easily denied over the years. I don't think it's always just a matter of, you know, well, photographic evidence, the picture proves it. I think in some cases, no matter what, nothing will prove it.
Sure.
To some. Thank you for sharing that that story with us. Do appreciate it. All right, back to the ghost stories in just a few moments. First, I want to thank our supporter today. It's another podcast that's out there. It's a great one, too. Of course, as All Hallows Eve gets closer, you can celebrate the spooky with Parcast Presents Halloween. This new podcast series on Spotify brings you 3 blood-curdling episodes each week in October, from urban legends to haunted places. Parcast Presents Halloween takes you on a historical tour of terror. Hear the stories of an escaped killer on the prowl, a gruesome discovery by 4 young friends, the legendary killings of Salem's first witches, and much, much more. Yes, you like spooky. This is another great podcast for you to add to your list. Search for Parcast Presents Halloween. That's Parcast Presents Halloween in the Spotify app, and start listening for free. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Go to our next letter. It says, hey, guys, I want to share one of the many stories I have about the males in my father's line who all seem to have the ability to see things the rest of us don't see. My father often had experiences, as did my brother and my son. Now, my grandson seems to be experiencing things as well. This story was from when my grandson was about 18 months old. He and his mom and their dog were at home. My son-in-law was out of the country for work. My daughter was in the master bathroom putting away laundry when my grandson and the dog came running to her from the living room. My grandson pointed towards the living room and said excitedly, "Monster!" The dog had jumped up on the bed and was shaking and just staring out towards the living room. My daughter asked my grandson what he meant, and all he could say was, "Monster!" My daughter immediately headed towards the living room and told my grandson to stay in the bedroom. She tried to get the dog to go with her to the living room, but she wouldn't budge off the bed. She was genuinely scared, and that is what truly frightened my daughter. Kids have vivid imaginations. Animals do not. My daughter retrieved her gun, shut my grandson and the dog up in the bedroom, and then began going through the entire house. She found nothing. She looked around outside, and there was no evidence of anything. After a bit, she went back to the bedroom and told my grandson he could come out. She tried questioning him about what he saw, but being that he was only 18 months old, he just didn't have the vocabulary yet to explain it further. The dog began acting more normal, so they all went about their normal nighttime routine. My daughter put my grandson to bed at his normal time, but she slept on the couch that night with the gun in her hand and the dog by her side. She called me about it the next day, and we were both stumped as to what he might have seen. We both agreed that it was something. Otherwise, the dog would not have acted so weirdly. This dog was about 100 pounds and normally let out vicious-sounding barks if any strangers came around. So if it had just been someone looking in the window, I think the dog would have barked rather than run, but who knows? We just left it as one of those strange things that we'd probably never figure out. About 2 weeks later, during the day, my daughter was out in the backyard with my grandson. It was a bright Florida day, nothing strange going on. It was the middle of the day, and all the neighbors were at work. Suddenly, my grandson stopped and pointed across the yard and asked my daughter, "Who's that, Mommy?" There was no one there. Nothing. This is a normal backyard, all fenced in with 6-foot privacy fencing. She asked him what he meant, and he said, "Fireman." She just told him she didn't know who it was and then gathered him up and went inside. The interesting thing is that my father had passed away just a few years before this. He'd been a retired fire chief. So I guess that might have seen my dad in his gear, maybe. Or perhaps it was an angel. The Bible speaks of angels as being brilliant and shining, so maybe that's the only way he could describe what he was seeing. I guess we'll never know. My grandson is now almost 7 years old and doesn't remember any of this. My other grandson, who is the same age, was at a friend's house a couple of years ago. A friend's little dog started barking while looking into the empty laundry room. This dog is another one that only barks at people, not just for the fun of it. My grandson leaned around and investigated the laundry room, straightened back up, looked at the family friend and said, "My grandpa died." And yes, his grandfather, my son's daughter's father, had passed away just a few months before this happened. Did he see his grandfather? That's what it sounded like. But when asked, he just shrugged. I have a new grandson that's 3 months old. He already will look off behind us and smile or react at something that none of the rest of us can see. Are these normal baby actions, or is he already seeing things too? Who knows? I truly feel that there is something in the line of males in my family on my father's side that makes them open to seeing or knowing things. I went through so many experiences with my son through the years that he's now 30 and still experiencing things. Neither my daughter nor I have had any experiences. It's just the males. As a Christian, I know there is a spirit world that's just as real as our tangible world. And only a thin veil separates the two. I hope one day I'll have answers as to what my grandsons have seen.
I think it's unusual that it's passing from male to male in that family. It's usually stronger with females and passed usually from a female to kids or daughters. But it sounds like some of the kids, though, are outgrowing it before they get very old.
Mm-hmm.
Like the seven-year-old doesn't seem to have any memory of anything. Now, the 30-year-old son does, but it could be getting weaker with each generation, too.
Is that something like that? Is it almost like like an analog tape. And I mean like a cassette tape. Remember when you'd record like from one tape to the next? And if you kept doing it over and over and over, the quality gets weaker and weaker. And eventually, if you're like copying a tape that somebody copied 40 times over, that sound quality is horrible.
Yeah.
I wonder, is that how it works generationally?
I don't know. And that's not something we've really touched on as far as losing that sense over time, as far as it getting weaker with each generation. But that's just what it seems like is going on in this case.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. Another interesting observation there with that specific story was that of it being the males. Quite often, I would say quite significantly more often, we hear that ability typically being with the females in a family. I don't know why that is.
Right.
Here's what I wonder about that. Is that something where it's just spoken of more commonly amongst women in a family? Because it's a lot of times it's very much an emotional reaction that someone is having to a ghost. Mm-hmm. You're more sensitive, or there's more sensitivity to it.
Yeah.
And I guess traditionally or scientifically, there's more of an emotional reaction, more of a level there of sensitivity than what men are typically conditioned to show.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something where it's more accepted or understood or recognized with women than men? Maybe men still are feeling these things, but it's not so socially acceptable, so to speak, or conditioning them to talk about it or recognize what they're feeling. Do you think that might be part of it?
The society influence on it?
Conditioning society. Yeah, that sort of a thing.
It could be. It could be that. You know, it could be that they may not pay as close attention to how they're currently mm-hmm. feeling in certain situations as well.
Yeah.
I think females tend to just have a higher awareness of how they're feeling in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hate to say that because it's very stereotypical to say such a thing, but I honestly wonder if that doesn't play in a little bit.
Well, I think for many generations that has been the case. Mm-hmm. That's how it was with society. And I would say being a sensitive man of the 90s, remember that was a term?
Yeah.
A sensitive man of the 90s. Let's listen to some Keith Sweat. I would say generationally in the last, 10, 20 years, it's been much more socially acceptable for men to show their feelings than it would have been 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You would have, for many cases, never have seen a dad cry or show emotions or anything. Yeah. And now it's like completely normal for the most part to be open and for them to understand how they're feeling and show it than there would have been in the past. So I wonder if that's going to shift a little bit more, where we're going to hear more about that, where it's not so, 80-20 female mm-hmm. being the 80 and 20% men with that sensitivity level to these things. Is it going to shift a little bit more, 60-40 or something like that, as far as men recognizing these things and being open to them? And being able to express what it is they're experiencing.
Yeah, without, fear of ridicule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's how that's going to pan out over the coming years. Thanks for sharing the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi. Let's hear your story.
Hey, guys. This is Davin, Kentucky. I left a message already about this story, but I realized that I left a couple things out, and it's one of those things. Oh, I just thought of a story, and I'll call in real quick, spur of the moment. But then you get to thinking about it, it's like, wait, no, that one quite right. But here's the correct, most accurate version of this. I was when I first started truck driving, I rolled with a company that. We had to have another guy in there with us, the grand teams, exclusively. And, that was to ensure that, when one guy's sleeping, the other guy's driving, the truck's always moving. Makes the company more money and make sure that, we get longer haul, which longer haul pays more. So I found out real quick, right out the gate, that I was good at nighttime driving. I love nighttime driving. Traffic's light, non-existent, especially when you're going through a big city. Don't have to worry about people, you know, challenging your truck. Only real bad thing is, you know, drunk drivers, but hey, you know, that's why they teach you how to be a defensive driver. But anyway, this is probably about, I think it was 2 o'clock. It's been like 3 years, so I can have the times wrong. I know I just were doing from noon to midnight to noon shifts. So it was probably about 2, around that time. And my partner and I had a policy, strict policy, don't wake us up unless we're about to die. We're about to get in a wreck. We want to see that we're, you know, what's about to happen to us. And if, unless we needed some help with like a course correction, like I-80 closes frequently in the winter due to wind, ice and snow and what have you. So, you know, wake each other up. Hey man, find a quick route for us, get around this and get to where we're going. We don't have any downtime. We're not just sitting there. So I was rolling. It was a clear night. No snow, no ice, no rain, minimal wind. Ain't nobody on the roads. I was just cruising, listening to my music, doing my thing. And rounded this bend. I was on I-80, going through Nebraska. Came around this bend, and my lights hit this girl on the shoulder of the road. And she's in a white dress, like almost kind of like, it's almost like a nightgown, but I guess it's closer to like a sundress, I guess. I don't really know much about dresses personally, but she had a white dress on. She had black hair, pale skin, but not like not unearthly pale, you know, like a normal pale, like pale. And she had no shoes on. This is the dead of winter, going through Nebraska. This girl ain't got no shoes on her feet. Wearing a dress, like a sundress or something like that. And no coat, nothing. She's standing there. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm racking my mind, you know, okay, is there a car back there pulled over or something like that? No cars were pulled over. There's hardly anybody out there driving at that time. And there's no houses around. I mean, it's farmland. So there's no houses anywhere near interstate for miles. And man, that is weird. And, you know, all this is like going through my head right when my headlights hit her. And at the same time that all this is going through my head, she like snaps her head over and looks me dead in the eyes. And you know, you can always tell when somebody's looking at you in your car, like you're passing them or something like that. You can always tell if they're looking just at you or if they're looking you in the eyes. You know, you can always tell, obviously, if they're human trait, I guess. But I could tell for sure she was staring at me. She was looking at me directly in my eyes. And that freaked me out, you know. And I'm still debating in my head, hey, should I pull over and get this girl in the cab and take her to the nearest truck stop and call the cops or something like that, or what, kind of warm her up. But once she looked at me, I was, you know, all the hair starts standing up on end, and I'm like, ah, this ain't right. And I, you know, I was going to pass her anyways, because it takes a while to slow the thing down. I was fully loaded. So slow something down like that is going to take at least a football field of really trying. So I got around, and I'm hitting my brakes a little bit, trying to, you know, kind of ease down and get on the shoulder. And I look back in my mirror, my right side mirror, to look and see where she's at, make sure she ain't going to walk out and, you know, get clipped by my trailer or something. So I'm trying to bow out and get her, and it's not as much room as possible without my trailer, you know, getting too close to her. And with the brake lights on and it's that dark, you know, obviously you drift the car before you see how bright those brake lights can get in that kind of darkness. And my brake light, you know, trailer lights are on. I've got running lights back there and I can see all that in my mirror. She's just gone. She wasn't there. And my lights were lit her up. I know that for sure because I've passed people who were on the side of the road before where I've slowed down and always safety, always look in that mirror, see what's going on, make sure that, you know, they're safe and that my trailer safely, you know, gets past them without incident. And I've seen my lights light people up. And it just didn't happen. She was just gone. I mean, it was, I was traveling with the brakes on. I could go 62 miles an hour with that company. And probably the time I hit the brakes and everything got past her, to the point for those lights to light her up, I probably hit about 60, maybe 58. Because I wasn't really, you know, let down the brakes too hard. I would have seen her. I mean, it's quick. It was real quick by the time I got past her where she was standing. So she didn't really have much time to, like, you know, jump in the ditch or, you know, something crazy like that. But, I talked to my brother about it later. I was like, you know, what do you think about it? Because he's into the paranormal and all that like I am. We both came to the conclusion that was probably the lady in white. And I don't know why she appeared to me. If that was the lady in white, I don't know why she appeared to me. Of course, you know, that's like 3 years ago. But you know, something may have happened later that I dodged or something. You know, who knows? That I just don't remember. But I don't know why she would have appeared to me from my recollection of the events that happened afterwards. I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, she wasn't leveling or anything. It's just, hey, you know, I got to see ghosts today, you know? But thanks for listening. Sorry about having to call back in on this. Like I said, I just remembered a couple things that weren't right. My memory, you know, had to really kind of think about it to correct it. But keep up good work, guys. You guys are awesome. Love listening to your show, especially if you're driving in the truck, passing the time well, and I get to listen to ghost stories. So y'all have a good.
Thanks for sharing that story. Almost makes you want to go pick up a Hitchhikers, you know?
No.
Puts me in that mood. Every once in a while, it's kind of like, it's like a good day to go pick up Hitchhikers.
You know? No, definitely not. My goodness. I love stories from our truck drivers because they're able to see creepy side of the highway, you know, in the middle of the night where most people aren't out traveling. And they have some of the best stories.
I think my mind would go, if I'm seeing these things, if I were doing that, I'd be like, oh my God, did I have too many 5-hour energies? Or do I need a 5-hour, you know, some sort of energy drink? Because am I seeing this shit?
Right.
My mind would go there immediately. But, you know, I think once you do it for a living, you can really obviously tell the difference between when you're exhausted, when you're overly alert, and when you're seeing ghosts. Mm-hmm. And there's some of the best. Those are some of my favorites.
Yeah.
Over the years. So thank you for sharing. Appreciate you listening probably just as much as you appreciate listening. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for sharing that story. If you got more, we'd love to hear them. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. Or if you like Patreon, go through that app at patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, 270 some of them now. Advanced episodes, all commercial free, all there for you. Ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.